everybody. Thanks for having me. I find it difficult to refer to myself as an artist, but I think on my Instagram it says Liverpool doodler eats crisps. That's what I call myself. So basically, how did I get into this sort of line of work? The long story is, when I did my A-level exams, my father asked me what I wanted to do as a job in my future. And I said I wanted to be Judi Dench, who is a character actress that you may or may not know. And my dad said, you're not allowed to do that because you'll never get a job. So he put two pieces of paper in a hat and gave the hat to me and said, choose a piece of paper. So I chose a piece of paper and it said teaching, and the other piece of paper said nursing. And basically, they were the two choices that he was giving me for my career. He said, you either have to be a teacher or you have to be a nurse. So I became a primary school teacher, which I was for 17 years, which is how I met Aurélie, because I used to teach her children at one point. But along the way, and when I was a kid, I was always drawing and always making things, you know, models, and I say sculpture, but it wasn't that exciting. It was far more basic. And I kept doing that kind of thing as a teacher. And I discovered when I was teaching that lots of people were intimidated by the type of things that I found quite easy or quite, I would look forward to doing things, pieces of art, and other members of staff, it would really petrify them. They didn't want to, you know, do a display of children's work or anything like that. So gradually I would go around and became a sort of school advisor on telling other teachers or helping them out with doing their displays. Gradually it started becoming more and more a job outside of my main job. So I started off originally doing window painting in restaurants. So painting their Christmas displays or that kind of thing. My husband was a chef, so it literally started with somebody one day, the head of the restaurant said, can you do something in our windows, which I did. They then let me start putting artwork up on the walls, which they got for free, but then customers sometimes bought. And gradually that gave me the confidence to start doing that kind of thing more and more. Then social media happened. And I could put things on Instagram, which again, it just snowballed from there, really, to the point where now I stopped teaching when I had my second child. And with a view to going back to teaching, but while I was off looking after her when she was tiny, just started making the art kind of thing more and more my full-time job, which now really it is. Now the main pieces of work I do for art are murals for restaurants or buildings. I'm working with a local gallery at the moment on some animation projects. And then my husband has a cured meat business, so charcuterie, like sausages on that kind of thing. And I do all the branding for there and also the website for there. So along the way, I've never really had one solid art form that I've done, but it's just become a whole host of other of different art forms, which some parts of them are focused on paying the bills. So for example, I do a lot of pet portraits, which I don't really like doing, but they pay the bills. And then the other side is things that are a bit more weird and wonderful that nobody really wants, but I do anyway. And that's really the things that probably I'm more interested in. But there you go. A big break for me actually came. There was a competition on Facebook for a local restaurant. They wanted a mural. It was a cheeky competition because they basically didn't want to pay you any money to paint a massive mural in their restaurant. But you had to submit your designs. And then they chose someone, and you did this mural. So I did this mural, which has opened up the opportunity for more murals. So even though I didn't get paid for that initial one, it was naughty of them, I did subsequently get a few more jobs off it. Does that mean that someone has their hand up when there's a little yellow hand?
Yes, we have our first question. Hurrah.
Hello.
Hello, I'm wondering, you just talked about pet paintings. What is the most common thing we're asking you to paint?
I've had a run on rabbits at the moment.
Oh.
Lots of people seem to have a whole house full of rabbits. they're very, I did it once as a, I think it was National Pet Day or something. And so I did a post of a friend's pet. And then I had lots of dogs and cats orders were coming in. So I literally posted this one on my Instagram and it just alerted people to the fact that that was something that I offered. But it can be quite, because people are very much, you know, that the pets are part of a family and they're very much in love with their pet. There was one lady who I spent almost 3 days moving an eyebrow on her dog up and down because she said, no, it's not quite right. Just one more notch down. And I started getting really sarcastic with it, actually, because I knew that I was moving it up one and then down one. And every time I moved it up one, she said, no, it's... And it was literally one point on the drawing. So it couldn't have been any smaller. And she said, oh, no, I think it's too high now. And then I moved it down. Oh, no, I think it's too low now. And I just kept doing that. And she said, oh, it's perfect.
Was it that sort of situation where it reminds me of a sort of business story I heard where a guy brought in a seat, told the customer, here it is, use this leather seat. And then she said, oh, no, do you have any more of them? Yeah, sure. They come back with another. And they just keep switching out those two until they finally bought one.
I think, it's the whole thing of, unfortunately, the customer is always right. But that doesn't mean that you have to appreciate the customer's perspective always. But that was definitely the paying the bills side of things, which I think is maybe... There would definitely be some artists who would frown upon that kind of thing. They would say you shouldn't ever be trying to pay the bills. You should be doing what you need to do. But I think those artists might have, private family wealth looking after them, paying their bills for them. In fact, there's a brilliant, he does lino prints. He's called Christopher Brown Lino is his Instagram. He's done lino prints for very big companies like Yves Saint Laurent and Harrods and things like that. I don't quite know how I stumbled upon his Instagram. I had a phase where I was really interested in lino prints. I don't know if you're familiar with lino prints. It's where you carve out, it's basically like floor tiling. In fact, that's what you used to use in the old days in primary school. It was really dangerous. It was great. But you carve out the picture and then you spread ink on it and you do a print with it. But I sent him a message once. Or I can't remember what it was, but for some reason he was looking at my profile and he was very open to sort of emerging artists contacting him for advice. He was really very generous with his time, especially for someone who really doesn't need to bother himself with the likes of me because he's this big sort of superstar in these big companies. He's a really nice fella. And I at one point said, please don't look at my Instagram. At the moment, it's just full of dog print and dog portraits because that's how I'm paying the bills. And he sent me a message back saying, don't worry, darling, that's how we all paid the bills, and sent me pictures of dog portraits he'd done back in his early career. And I was like, yes, I'm in. So that made me feel like I was on the right path because I have no formal training of, I don't have a degree in art or anything like that. In fact, my art teacher at school, when I was about 15, in fact, Aurelie, you'll be able to help me with the ages of GCSE. What age did you do GCSEs? Anyway, it's an exam when you're a teenager. He said I wasn't allowed to do that exam. I wasn't allowed to do art as a subject. And he wrote in my school report, Dorothy Saul, which was my name then, couldn't draw a stick man if she tried. My parents have that in a frame. So if I ever meet Mr. Phillips, I can go and show him his report like that. So yeah, I mean, it said it in the book that we've all been reading, but you know, you can't account for people's opinions, and you just have to carry on doing what you think is your idea of art. So they get, interestingly in the book, they were talking a lot about Turner. I don't always appreciate Turner, and now I feel like I need to go and try harder.
It's funny because Saltz sort of, he has an Instagram and he sort of posts there regularly. And at one point he was, he asked the question because he surveys the public regularly, and he asked a question recently, which was, which artist were you obsessed with when you were a teenager and you no longer like today? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people said Turner, actually. Yeah.
Anything to do with the film. Have you seen the film about Turner?
I think so. Yeah.
I'm not sure it painted in the nicest light. I can't remember though. I can't even remember if I've seen it, but I'm sure I've read somewhere that there were people who went off Turner as a result of the film, thinking that the actor was actually Turner.
Yeah. Could we see some of your work?
You certainly can. So bear with me. So I'll do, let me just check. I'm like an old person sometimes on there.
We want to see everything you mentioned. So the murals, okay. The animation projects, the branding for the restaurant, the illustration work, your pet portraits, everything.
Right, here we go then. You ready for the long haul? This is something that I think is worth showing you.
Could you share your Instagram maybe later if it's okay for you?
That's a good idea.
Thank you.
So this is where I started off. I started off making greetings cards, which was not very successful because me saying before, stick to the weird things that you like. I made cards like that and nobody understood them except me. That was supposed to be a badger going to a birthday party and stealing the best presents. I was glad I did it, but it wasn't successful. Bear with me a moo because it's now, where's my little, my face is in the way of me clicking X. Bear with me one sec.
You can move the little bars if you need to. Where all the portraits are. You can also completely get rid of it by pressing on the line.
Ah, thank you. That's very helpful. There you go, I'm on it. So, the greetings cards. The problem with the greetings cards were it doesn't pay the bills at all. And now I think it might be different because you have things like online card sellers such as Moonpig. Although I sent an interesting set of my images to Moonpig and they said, although we've had a good laugh in the office, we don't really think that they're for us. So it was slightly disappointing that they didn't want to stock my things. But so the reason this wasn't successful was I had to take them to a local shop. The local shop sold each card for £2.50. But from that, I had to pay for all the printing costs, the packaging, the envelopes, the anything else like your tax and things like that. And basically it ended up, I was making about 3p per card. So for that, you had to make a lot of cards and you really didn't get a lot back. And there was also the process of, say you had 4,000 cards printed, you had to fold them, put them in the packet. So it was the time-consuming nonsense of turning a piece of art into something marketable. So that's something that you have to think of if you're creating your own, say if you had an Etsy shop or something like that. You have to factor in all the extra costs and all the extra time. You never really get paid for the time that you're spending on a project. I think that's just an artistic headache that you spend so many hours, no one's ever going to pay you really for those hours in some cases. In some cases they do, in which case you should lap it up. I see two hands up. Sorry, I've then just spotted them. Youssef.
I just had a quick question. When around was it when you were doing the greetings cards? Like in what sort of year?
Oh, so this would have been, now you're asking. It was probably about 2019, 2018.
Okay.
Maybe a bit earlier. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I can't remember the answer, but it was before I had children actually. So it must be 6 years ago. So things have changed a lot in that time. The other problem with the card shop, who still exist as they're a big shop in the main city centre. I think they have shops in London and places like that as well. They demanded artistic exclusivity, so you couldn't give your cards to another company. They didn't have copyright ownership, but if you tried to sell your cards with another shop at the same time as them, they would drop you basically as a supplier, which I found out since. I didn't realize at the time, really, that's a bit of a dirty trick. And if anybody asks you to do that, unless they're offering you something brilliant, you should really consider saying, no, I'm not doing that, because it gives them the best possible monopoly, but it really damages your chance of, you know, use it, because I couldn't even put them on my Instagram for sale because they'd said that they wanted to sell them as an exclusive place. They're a bit of a dirty company who I now don't even go into their shop.
While on the subject of dirty practices and not getting
Adrian, Alexia had a question, so let's hear Alexia's first and then you can go, okay? Sorry. Thanks.
Sorry,
thank you. Don't worry. My question is, since your card selling didn't work, if you had to do it again, would you choose to do something you like or something people would like to buy, since it didn't work when it was your idea?
Again, so now all the cards or posters, I sell them direct through my Instagram. So that's one thing that I learned. So even when I have pictures up in a restaurant, so I've approached various restaurants and said, I'll give you framed copies of my designs as posters for your wall. So they have those framed copies for free, but then I have a card next to them saying, contact me directly if you want to buy a copy of this print. So that all the sales are coming through my Instagram now. So in terms of, do I do things that I want or things that I know other people want, I think a mixture of both really. But I just advertise them on my Instagram now. I don't go through a second website. That's not true actually, I do. There is a good website that you should consider for poster and greetings card sales, which is called thoughtful.com, because they are pro artist basically. So you still don't get a great profit from it, but I think I have 4 cards there because I was a bit skeptical. I thought, oh, I'm not doing this again. I uploaded 4 card designs and then all of a sudden I started getting £15 in a month, maybe. Say it's Father's Day, and one of the designs was Father's Day. I started noticing on my bank statement, well, where's that come from? And actually it's not a bad profit that you get from thoughtful.com. So that's I would say Moonpig were very nice, but unless you really fit into the style of Moonpig, which I think is quite had I want to say something that I can't say it the way I'm thinking. it's quite appealing to lots of people, the Moonpig style, whereas Thoughtful seemed to be more open to people being a bit more abstract, a bit more out there. So that's a top tip for greetings cards. Adrian, Alexia, did I answer your question, Alexia?
Yeah, it's perfect. Thank you.
Adrian, do you still have a question?
I'm next. Okay. What I wanted to know was, since you also seem to be selling most of the artwork online outlets, how do you deal with the piracy or copyright infringement? Because if I remember correctly, this is quite old. I don't know if it's still happening, but places such as Twitter, Instagram, or any sort of social media site would have issues where bots would just scan artists and take them away. I think especially there was a big problem with if somebody said, I want this on a shirt or something, a bot would immediately pick up on that and then I think like steal the artwork and put it onto a cheap Chinese shop shirt. So yeah. How do you deal with that?
It's an interesting one. It has happened to me a couple of times where people have screenshotted my, that's the only way I can think that they've done it, that they've screenshotted things off Instagram and then put them on their Instagram as things that they've created themselves. And the really annoying thing about that is the times that I've noticed it, they've got more likes for my artwork than I have. It's really depressing. But it's interesting because they were two people who I vaguely knew. I'd sold artwork to them previously. There was another lady who ordered a poster. I had it printed. She then said, oh, it's okay, actually, I don't need it anymore. And then just in passing, I saw on her Instagram, she had a copy of it printed on her wall in a frame. So she'd gone and got it printed herself from a picture from my Instagram. It's always gonna happen. And my take on it is, do you know what? If they're that desperate to have a copy of it, then let them get on with it. If they're that sad, then whatever. If it was something big, which has never happened, you know, no one's ever, you know, I've never designed a t-shirt that says, Frankie says relax, that's gone global. So it's not bothered me too much yet. I mean, it's always gonna happen. And the other thing, reading the Salt book, which is very true, is everybody kind of copies each other anyway. So the way that you learn, I mean, it's different when it's a direct copy, when it's clearly a literal tracing of what you've
done. Yeah, I'm sort of literal, just I've ripped your thing off and put it onto a shirt.
Yeah, I mean, that would be annoying, and it's not happened to me yet. That, in fact, actually, it has. I have to be careful because Aurelie might know the person I'm talking about. There was a lady who, I won't say any names, so it's fine, really. For months and months, I was making designs for her. She wanted to make a ceramic collection for a shop in Spain. And I was toing and froing all these designs. And she kept sending me pictures of other designs from the internet and saying, can you just do it a bit more like this one? And I said, well, no, I can't, because A, that's copyright infringement of that artist. B, this is how I draw. So this is, you know, if I'm putting my name on it, then it has to be my style. And it was all getting a bit annoying, to be honest. But by the end, this sort of conversation backwards and forwards. And then it got worse because she then started sending me pictures where she'd taken my designs and she'd traced them. And then she'd colored them in with watercolor and said, look at this. I had to go at painting myself today. This is good, isn't it? And I was looking at them thinking, that's what I sent you, but you've literally copied over the top. So it was very confusing. She was an extremely rich lady. And I don't know if she ever made them into ceramics, but for months and months of work, she paid me £200 and then that was the end of that. It's very strange. But you just can't account for people. And I suppose you just have to find a place where you're being appreciated for your artwork and where you're being treated fairly. And there are going to be times when you're not treated fairly on a financial front, or where you're not appreciated for your artistic flair. And you'll learn from those times. It'll be frustrating and annoying, but it also makes you a well-rounded creative. You know, you learn from, you think, oh yeah, I'm not doing that again. And then the next time someone comes and says, oh, I want to make a set of ceramics, you're like, no, thank you. I don't do ceramics. But there you go. So it is frustrating at times, but then you'll find other things where, so for example, the job I'm working at now with a gallery, I'm almost surprised how well they're treating me, but apparently that's actually that's how it's supposed to happen. But that's because it's a professional organization, so you're not working off human interaction with, you know, just a one-to-one with two separate people. Ultimately, you want to work with an establishment. Now, how do you do that? I don't have a set answer. I basically stumbled into the job that I'm in at the moment by applying for every artistic job that came up. There's a local website. I think if you do if you go to university to do arts and things, they will give you websites and connections where you go and find, you know, where all the jobs for, they call them call for artists, you might know that already, or they call them that over here, which is saying for coronavirus, the local government were looking for people to make posters for coronavirus. And they put this call for artists out on the local council website. Our one is just liverpool.art. So if you wanted to work in Liverpool, then look at that one. But I mean, actually you could look at that website for work as well, because so much of the work is done remotely and digitally now that you don't have to live in Liverpool to apply for those jobs. You could, you know, all the work that I've done is over a computer, which is one of the good things that's come out of the pandemic, really, because it shows you how work can operate from where you are. Shall I show you some more artwork things?
Let's look at art, but of course, but Mario has a question, so let's hear the question.
Sorry, Mario. Oh, I can't see you, Mario. Oh, yes, I can, there you are. Hello.
So my question is, are you inspired by other artists or other styles? Are you inspired by other artists and their styles? And if you are, what are they?
Definitely. And my sort of interest in other artists is always changing, which is one of the really good things that I think about Instagram, where I know sometimes it suggests things that aren't helpful, but constantly I'm discovering new artists via there. I can write a list of my, shall I write a list, Juliana, of my top 20 maybe? I'm writing that down.
Yeah, for
sure. Send them to you. It depends. My focus on what type of art I'm interested in changes quite often. My brain is a bit like that. It's always thinking of like, oh, today I'll do this, today I'll do this. I'm not good at focusing on one medium. So for example, Christopher Brown Lino, the man I mentioned before, that was in my Lino stamping phase, which was in winter when, you know, it's cozy and you're cutting Lino. And then there's a brilliant, she's a sign writer, which is like an old form of lettering, but it's lettering with brush, but it makes my head want to explode how perfect her work is, because she just paints and it's straight and it's beautiful and she has shadow. And so sometimes I look at her Instagram and cry and like, I'll never do that, because I just can't do it as straight as her. And I've tried a couple of times, and so she's my arch nemesis what I'd like to be before I die, but it probably won't happen. But I mean, it depends. So if you think of the classics artists, one of my favorites is Picasso, if you want a name that everybody's heard. But I mean, my likes are so diverse. Juliana, can you remember the name of the artist? I always forget his name. The German artist who, he just climbs inside a massive yellow balloon.
The bubble one, yeah, I was gonna say.
He just, so for example, and then takes lots of photos of himself in this giant yellow balloon. It's hard to explain. You'll have to see.
I'm going to find our conversation on Instagram and tell you right in a few
minutes. And then there's one where he's inside the massive balloon and he's holding a baby. And it's just like, he also did this, did a dinner party, which was about, it had a serious message where it was about how everybody is equal, everybody's the same. So what he did was he made different size shoes, really tall shoes, really short shoes, big platforms. And he called it the same height party. So everybody came and had cocktails, but they were all at the same height because if you were short, you had to wear massive, it was brilliant. Anyway, so I love all that kind of thing. I tell you what's a good program, but I don't know if you can get it there, is Grayson Perry's Art Club, which is a program that they brought out for the pandemic. I don't know if you're aware of Grayson Perry at all. Anyone? No. He's a good artist. I don't particularly like his art, interestingly, but he is a clever fella and he speaks well about what art is and what art means to him and that kind of thing. So he's worth listening to, although I look at his artwork and it's often very sort of angry and it doesn't appeal to me in terms of, I wouldn't put it on my wall, but I would talk to him until the cows came home, which is that's a British expression, isn't it? Do you say that is that a French thing, Aurélie, or a Swiss thing? No, does anyone say talk to them until the cows come home? No, all right then.
So I recovered the name of the artist that you're talking about. His name is Hans Hemmert.
That's right.
This guy, yeah.
I can recommend
That's in the chat. We have a question from, is that okay, Mario? You're satisfied with your answer?
Yeah, just a tiny follow-up question. So is any of your work inspired by any of the artists, for example?
Very much so. For example, specifically, well, Christopher Brown, again, he really was my sort of education in lino printing. So his work really did inspire me a lot, where I was sort of looking at everything that he did. In terms of murals, there's a mural painter called Miro, who I think is Portuguese, who just his use of space and color and the way he draws people. I'm constant, there's no specific artist, but there's definitely, I can write down the ones that at the moment are influencing me, but it is always ever evolving, I have to say.
You know how Salt establishes his heaven and hell lists?
Yeah.
We want to hear your heaven list. So if you could send me some names later, I would share it with the students, and Mario would be satisfied with that, I think.
Interestingly, when I look back at my old work, I hate it. I really hate it. Often things that once I've done a thing, I kind of don't like to look back at it because I look back at it and I think, oh, that's so annoying. Why did I do that? Or I can see the wobbles in the lines or things like that. So if you find yourself doing that, apparently that's quite normal. There you go.
Amira has a question.
Yes, thank you. So today we've been talking a lot about social media, and I'm just wondering, like nowadays, a lot of people go to museums and art exhibitions and they would just take pictures with installations. And in a way, they don't really care about art. So I was wondering, do you feel like social media ruined the concept and the meaning of art in a way, kind of?
I think that's a really good question. For me, no, but I understand what you're saying, because I think when I was a child, for example, that the thing that my parents would talk about would be computers. And was it a good thing? Was it a bad thing? Was it a positive thing for society or not? Their parents talked about television as, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it a positive thing for our society or not? The thing of our generation is the ever-evolving social media. And it's got the side of social media is letting people access artwork, which perhaps they might not have the opportunity to access otherwise. The internet, I certainly wouldn't know as much as I know about art without social media, specifically Instagram. Facebook, I don't tend to use Facebook a lot anymore, but it was definitely a stepping stone for me to get a following, as it were, and I don't have a great following, but then I don't push the social media thing in a marketing way as much as a lot of other artists do. That's mainly because my husband has Instagram for his business, which I run. Now, that side of things, I can see that growing, and so the awareness growing and the opportunities growing, and just the fact that people know about you at all, and the fact that you can access people from your house. I can see why it doesn't have as much soul as going to a gallery and looking at a real live piece of art, but I think it's just it's a modern mystery that basically is now kind of integrated into the way we live. Having said that, the gallery that I'm working for now, they don't get lots of people through their door. And it's a shame because there is a lot of local history. For example, a museum near to us has closed and all their artifacts have moved to another museum, which is in a richer part of town. So basically there was the whole, this made a lot of people angry in the local area to hear, because it's quite poor around where I live, because they said, if anywhere, we need this opportunity for this artwork and this access to history and arts and to be in the communities where maybe children in particular don't always have the opportunities to see this type of artwork. But I think it's a funding issue. It's a modern world issue. So I can see what you mean, that it loses its soul a bit if you don't see it live, but I can also see lots of positives with social media. Does that make sense? Did I waffle? I think I waffled.
Yes, thank you very much.
So let's take a look at your Instagram again, shall we? And have a closer look at some of the things you mentioned. Brilliant. Or Alexia has a question.
Yeah.
While you're pulling that up, let's hear the question, and I can also pull it up, Dot, if that helps.
My question is related to COVID-19. So would you say because of the pandemic, did you maybe not lose money, but was people less interested by your art maybe?
I was quite lucky, but because of the pandemic, I got a job with the gallery, because what the gallery have been doing, they've been changing all their exhibitions from live exhibitions to virtual exhibitions so that schools and families can look at them on their laptop at home. So because of that, they were looking for someone to create artwork and animations and things like that. So it was a good thing in lots of ways for me, the pandemic, because I think that's an important thing, actually. Even if you don't go into artwork in your future, whatever you go into, the companies and that survive are the ones that when something bad happens, you have to start thinking straight away, how can I change what I'm doing to so that it now works in this different situation? Because things are always going to change. And so the pandemic's been good in some ways for me, but that I know some other artists who perhaps it's been bad for them, particularly if they were selling things through restaurants and things like that exclusively. Because if you do anything exclusively, really, you're stopping, you're closing yourself off to other opportunities so that when something big, you know, when the wave hits you, you can't get back up again as easily unless you're ready to go somewhere else where the waves aren't coming, you know? Does that make sense? So I think that's a
yeah.
That I would say you have to be prepared to diversify, to change when you need to, I think. I'm not a millionaire or anything, but I'm still paying the gas bill. That's what I mean.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for your question. Right. Shall I do it from this end, Juliana?
Yeah, I started sharing and then I stopped sharing because I didn't know what you wanted to show as well that you do.
Oh, I'm doing that thing again. Hang on. Ah, there you go. Move that. Honestly, I remind myself of my mother with an iPad. She does the whole, she dives her finger before she presses a button. It makes it very lengthy. So, for example, I'll just show you a few things. If you can see over here, this is screen printing for my husband's business. So that really, a lot of my artwork at the moment is centered around his work, but it changes seasonally. So there's some videos about the process if you're interested in, if you haven't done screen printing before. This is like the... There are different ways of doing screen printing. This is the less messy way, but there's a much more technical way. So if you want to know how to do the more technical way, then just let me know and I can show you how to do that. This is some of my window work. Interestingly though, this window, I was quite pleased with, but the woman who owns the shop that I did the window for, she hated it. And I was painting there all day and I'd made those dangling things and which you can see here, I sewed them together. And halfway through the day, I could tell that the lady who owned the shop didn't like what I was doing. So I turned to her and said, you don't like it, do you? And she said, no. And I said, oh dear, what don't you like? And she said, it just shows no skill, and which is kind of crushing. And so I then had to spend the rest of the day uncomfortable finishing this window. And I had a conversation with her at the end. And she basically said her preferred style is she likes, so I think there's one on here. She said she preferred it when I drew things like this mouse. That was her preferred style, which I'd done previously in their shop. But she really didn't like the other things. So I added that mouse on to kind of please her at the end of the day. And we discussed that if she had me back again, I would do more of the drawing, which is really depressing. But at the end of the day, she's sometimes you have to say, okay, I'm providing a service this time. It's not 100% my artistic control. But so again, you have to just take that kind of thing on the chin and not get too upset about it and understand that it's just personalities. And it doesn't mean that what you've done is bad, but it means that people are weird. So this is the
excuse me,
sorry.
Yusuf has a question.
Sorry, Yusuf, hello.
I'm so sorry. Okay. Yeah, I just have a question about the shop wall window that you did. When you like started out on the project, were you given like a briefing on what she wants, or was it like you have full creative freedom, go? Because
yeah,
that's important.
initially she said you have full creative freedom, go. And then I started sending her little ideas and she said, yeah, that's great. And they were all ideas for that design. So it was confusing. Maybe she'd had a bad morning, but it was just very awkward. But yeah, it is a good idea to establish, if you're doing a job like that, specifically what the person wants. The problem with that though is, for example, I'll show you some of my old window work going down, 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 down. There is a man who I work for who I have to be nice with because he has a lot of windows. I get a lot of work from him. And it's useful keeping him on side. But he often gives me ideas for windows, which I hate. And then you have to sort of bend it to fit your idea. But I always check with him. So I do full drawings for him and send them. And I don't go and do the window until he's agreed on the drawing. But don't ask for, if you know someone whose artistic lean is not the same as your own, be careful asking for them to give you ideas, because they might give you an idea which is awful, which you find it really hard to, and at the end of the day, you're not going to create the best piece of work unless it fits in with your style. Because I've tried to shoehorn myself into someone else's ideas before, and at the end, it's not my best work. So for example, he wanted a Valentine's window fit. He's got about 8 windows, so they all fit together. He wanted Valentine's things, and he'd seen something on the television, which was hearts made out of post-it notes. And I thought that was a terrible idea. So I had to try and, oh, that's a great idea, Gary. What about if we do it a bit more like this? And I had to sort of sweet talk him round to his idea, but a bit my idea too. So it's a fine balance into, obviously the customer wants what they want, but they also have their own ideas, and you have to make them feel, this sounds like I'm a con artist, but you have to make them feel like you're doing what they want. But at the same time, you have to make sure that you're comfortable with what they're asking you to do, because otherwise it won't be your best work. That's the free mural that I did it's a massive restaurant with a great big back wall. And so that was the one where I won the competition. That's it, nearly finished. The scaffold's still up. It doesn't have the edges on it, but it was that kind of abstract thing. And because it was a competition, I could do the whole abstract thing, which normally you'd find it difficult for people to agree to, because sometimes your weird is too weird for their sensible type thing. Because again, they're employing you, but they might not be an artist themselves, but that was my initial application, actually. So it's the end piece was different. But that was my other application. That was the one that I thought they'd choose, but they didn't. But there you go. Or I thought that one was better, but they didn't choose that either. It was like a sort of big food hall. I'm trying to see if there's anything else that reminds me of interesting stories I can tell. This is all the branding that I do for my husband's work. They've changed since then, though. They're old brandings now. But they were like retro posters and blah, blah, blah. So there you go. And any questions? There's a picture of the artwork that I have up in the restaurant with just a small card where people can order the prints from there, which has worked really well. But obviously, if I was just relying on that at the moment, with the pandemic, then I'd be in trouble because nobody's going to restaurants. But it's been a good way to get my name into the public eye, I suppose. So there you go. If you look at my Instagram, there's quite a lot of it that is not artwork, is just pictures of my kids. Sorry about that. There's me beach ready. Again, nobody liked that image. It's funny, the things that you... Now this is a story. Roku Jin, I did windows for, it's a big gin company. They wanted, the brief was wisteria blossoms in the window. So that was the design. I painted it, the Rocky Gin, the rep came to view it. So what happens is the restaurant gets sponsored by Rocky Gin to have a piece of artwork that's then Instagrammed. So I sent the restaurant this design. They okayed it. I went and painted it. Then the rep from Rocky Gin came and said, that's not what we want. And they had to clean it all off. But the person, so it wasn't that the restaurant didn't have to pay again. They just told me I had to come and redo it for free, which was annoying because it was another 2-3 days work for nothing. When the restaurant had okayed it, but the gin company had not. And I'd sent the designs previously, so they all had that on paper before I started. But again, you don't want to burn bridges in case you want to work for that company again. So I just had to swallow that. I think it was only £150 for the windows. But a 3-day job turned into a 6-day job, so you're going to find annoying things like that. But I then had 2 more jobs off that company. So I suppose it works out. That was the painting. That was part of it anyway, that they didn't like. Oh, no, that's not it. That's a tiger. Anyway, sorry, I'm waffling. Someone asked me a question. Anybody?
could you tell us about the teaching yourself animation and what the work that you recently did for the museum that you were telling me about?
Certainly can. So I've always been interested in animation and anyway, but from the point of Wallace and Gromit and things like that, but this job came up. I did some animations with children in school when I was teaching. Because I was the art coordinator, but I was also the, it was called IT, but it's computing coordinator as well in the school. So we did stop frame, we did digital. There are various programs that you can do stop frame with either photographs or you draw and then you draw another one on top and that kind of thing. So when this job came up, I thought I'm just gonna apply for it. It was an open-ended job where they wanted artists to suggest how to make the exhibitions more COVID compliant so that people didn't have to actually come to the gallery. They could look at exhibitions from home. There is, again, I think it's a German museum. I don't know if you've seen it. They had a cherub, like an angel, pop out of a painting with AR. Do you know about augmented reality? And it flew around the room. If you're looking for it, Juliana, it's on a website called Colossal, which is a very good art website actually to look at. It's like a daily magazine called Colossal. But so the cherub pops up and sort of flies around doing mischievous things with the exhibition. So I started just Googling AR, which I discovered AR is not as far on as companies let you think it is. So it's actually still in its infancy. So, you know, you watch a television advert where you see an AR character pops up and it's, you know, it looks like a real person. It's pretty hard to do that kind of thing, to have someone pop up. So I had to sort of strip it back to more basics, which, hang on, I think I had one open, but I can't see it now. There it is. So for example, this was, this is a canopic jar in the museum, which is when it's ancient Egyptians. So when the person died, they used to put the organs in these jars. This one used to hold the lungs. So what I did was took a photograph of the item and then using, actually a really good app you should all get, because I think it costs £4. Are you in euros in Switzerland, Juliana? Is it 4 euros? What's your currency?
Swiss francs.
So how does 4 euros work out as Swiss francs?
It's roughly a 1-to-1 ratio.
Okay. Well, it's cheap, basically, is the point. But it's a very good program called Procreate. And it's an app you can get on the iPad. It does all sorts of things. So I can see Youssef nodding. He's clearly used it before, good on you.
Yeah, I
say that again.
I do have Procreate.
There you go. See, you're cool like me. No, I'm joking. You're much cooler than me. So the two programs I used to make this were Procreate, and the second program is Filmora 9, which is a free software. If you use Filmora 9 and you want me to show you how to trim it so you don't have logos on it and things, which is a bit naughty, but fine, then let me know and I can tell you how to do that. But basically, using those two programs, it's basic movements, but the idea is that children or people come to the exhibition, they scan a QR code and the object moves and talks. And it chats to the people in front, like that. So but the voice is, I decided to get people from the local community to do the script so that it was local voices, because it's a local exhibition from a lady who used to go out to Egypt and collect things. And that's basically what I'm doing for them at the moment. So they've got another exhibition, which is an alien, which is part of, I don't know if you have Dan Dare magazines. It's an old sort of animated comic, which started around here. So that's what I'm doing for them at the moment. And then, so for example, it's still artwork, but again, you're diversifying into a different field because, these are various websites. I'm trying to find this one. I don't know if any of you are web designers. I can recommend Wix as a design sort of platform. So I made this website for, it was a local school's art thing. So this was a history hunt. Now I'm lucky because I can bring my primary school teacher knowledge to the game on this one. But again, it was just where, it was artwork where kids went round the local environment, scanned things, scanned QR codes that were tied to trees and things like that. And then statues would turn around and talk to them. I got a couple of complaints because one statue was talking to them and it was a bit too realistic. And apparently there were like 6-year-olds with nightmares. He didn't say anything terrible, but it was just the fact that the head on the fountain went, hello, like that, that kind of thing. But you know, you can't please all of the people all of the time. But there you go. Does that explain, Juliana, what I'm up to at the moment?
Yeah, and as Salt says himself, if everybody, if nobody hates your art, then it's not art.
Yeah, it's very true. In fact, that's true of any profession you go into. This is going to sound very sad, but I do think it's true. When I was teaching, I wasn't always the most popular teacher. And for a while, that really bothered me. And it was sometimes the parents would say you were a bit strict or something. And sometimes the teachers were a bit grumpy with you. And you're like, what am I doing wrong? I'm a nice person. And then actually someone said to me, no, that means you're doing a good job. And so if not everybody likes you, you're fine. You're doing a good job is my top tip in life. I'll close that so that you don't have that flashing.
Thanks, Doc.